1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're going to move on to something a bit different, something off the field from the weekend, and quite frankly, something even more important.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
There you go. I didn't know if you knew that this week is Mental Health Awareness Week, 15th to 21st of May, and all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we are going to support something far more important than football, and is that mental health awareness. Every night we're going to speak to just someone maybe involved in an organisation, involved in the game, discussing how football can support people who are struggling by having a positive impact on our mental well-being. And I'm pleased to say we are joined tonight by Joe McKee, who works at Back On Side. You may also recognise the name as being a current player for Dumbarton. Back On Side, for those who don't know, a Scottish charity supporting those affected by mental health and challenging life circumstances. So Joe, first of all, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi Gordon, thanks very much. Yeah, all good, thanks. How are you doing?
All good here. On the pitch, people know what you do, Joe, for sure. So off it then, Back On Side. Tell us briefly what it is you do and what you're trying to achieve.
Well, Back On Side's mission, as you said, is to provide support, awareness and education around mental health. In the last 5 years, Back On Side have worked with well over 500 players and staff within the football industry, so it's kind of grown quite a lot, obviously during COVID and stuff like that as well. A lot of people suffered, so we provide professional counselling, one-to-one, and we've got a 24/7 crisis line as well that obviously is there for people that are in need. As I say, obviously we've got a few partnerships with some big clubs, the likes of Hibs and Ross County, and we provide for any of their staff or players, if any of them ever need any help. We also do that with some businesses as well who partner up with us to support their staff.
500 people in the football industry sounds like quite a lot. Does that sort of underline maybe the scale of the issue, Joe, and the fact that it maybe is hidden, it is surprising, and people don't realise just how many people are being affected by these things?
Well, I think that's the thing, Gordon. I think, you know, we all go and watch a game on a Saturday and everybody thinks that everybody's 100% at it. But we all know that, you know, everyone's got stuff going on in their life, whether it's personal or things away from football. And obviously at this time of the year as well, it's very hard for a lot of guys and girls within the game when it comes to contracts coming to an end. And ultimately, we're all human beings. We've all got bills to pay, and it can be difficult. And I think the thing we're Back On Side is we're just, you know, raising awareness that to let people know that we're all human beings and everybody's got stuff going on, and it is okay to ask for help.
What type of issues do people tend to be struggling with? I'm just trying to hope that you can talk to our audience here, because that's the point. A lot of people listening, and for all we know, even if there's one person out there that thinks, well, actually, that sounds a bit like me, and maybe I could go and, you know, speak to someone, go and get a bit of help.
Well, as I said, we obviously have a 24/7 crisis line, you know, that can be there to help people if they're in a really low place. And we also know that, you know, a lot of people, they don't really know where to go if they're in certain situations. I think we know, obviously, within the football industry as well, that coming to the end of contract, you know, you might, obviously, we don't like to say it, but gambling as well and stuff like that, it can be quite difficult. And as I said, we're human beings, so it's very easy for these things to take over life. And as I said, Back On Side is there to have a helping hand to try and get people back to their normal selves.
See, at the same time, you know, football, we're very quick to point out all the things that football gets wrong and all the things that's bad about football. Can football be a real sort of force for good when it comes to this sort of thing?
Definitely. I mean, as I said, we obviously work really closely with quite a few clubs. We've been up at Hibs recently and up at Ross County, and these clubs are very much with it. You know, they understand what exactly is going on. And as I said, there's more clubs that are there that we're actively speaking to who totally get it. So, as I said, we want to be there to try and have a partnership and try and provide help for whether it be a player or a staff member or whoever connected. And I think that's the thing as well that, that we need to understand is that it's not just all about football. I know obviously it's a footballing term back on side, but we're all human beings at the end of the day, so it could be anyone out there.
Joe, it's Roger Hannah. How are you doing? I was just thinking, one of the first words you used there when speaking to Gordon was support. You're there to support and to help. You were at the PFL Awards dinner last night. Fraser Wishart spoke very eloquently about some of the support networks that PFA Scotland have. And I think it's fabulous that PFA Scotland and back on side and organisations like that, they do offer support, they offer help, they offer counselling, because if you see a footballer with a broken ankle, or you see a footballer with a burst nose, you know that footballer's hurting physically, but you don't always know when footballers are, you know, going through hard times. And, you know, mental health awareness of footballers, of sportsmen, of some of the young men even watching the football, I don't think there's enough recognition of that. There's not enough awareness of that. And I think anything that back on side, you know, you guys do, a PFA Scotland does, to shine a light on this problem and to let young men in particular, young women, know there's a support structure there for them. All they need to do is pick up a phone line. Often they can stay anonymous, and there's always someone on the other end of that line 24/7 to offer advice and maybe even just to give them a shoulder to cry on. I think the work you do is terrific.
Well, thanks very much, Roger. That's very much who we are. And obviously, you know, the PFA Scotland as well, they obviously do all they can, and we try and do as much as we can. And at the end of the day, we're here to try and help people get from one place to another, you know, and try and get back to being their normal selves. And the thing that is obviously difficult for back on side is we don't get any funding, you know, we don't get any government funding or anything like that. We strictly rely on donations or regular giving on a monthly basis or summer events that we put on. We actually have a big golf day coming up on June the 19th. I think that there might already be an invite out there for Kenny Miller, I think he might be coming to play, I'm not sure.
If available, I'm there, yep, absolutely.
Brilliant, Kenny, well, that's the thing. I think we've only got a couple of teams left anyway, guys, to shift, so even if we could get a super scoreboard team together, that would be brilliant.
Well, listen, you don't need to ask Gordon DL twice to get his golf clubs out.
I don't know if he talks too much on that golf course.
He does a bit, he does, I must say. Joe, just finally, like I say, the reason we do this obviously is the hope that even one person who's listening and thinks, do you know what, life is getting a bit tough for me at the moment, and goes and recognises what you're saying and manages to get some help, even if it is one person. So how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can, obviously we've got a 24/7 crisis line, and if we also got a website as well that you can go on to backonside.co.uk, and you can see the number on there. We've got social channels, obviously. I know that obviously the way it is these days, everyone's on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, so we're obviously on every single social platform. So even if it's a direct message, which some people might feel more comfortable doing rather than, you know, actually speaking to someone, then there's obviously availability to do it there as well. You can go and check that out at Back On Side.
Brilliant, thank you very much. That was Joe McKee, thanks for joining us. Dumbarton player and business development manager for Back On Side, a Scottish charity supporting those affected by mental health and various challenging life circumstances. If you recognise any of that, if that speaks to you, please do visit the website, as Joe says, and even give us a call. You never know. Give us a call, give us a message, we'll point you in the right direction. And more talking points from the weekend, Nick.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep your calls coming. We'll try and get into as many more as we can between now and the end of the show. But just before we go any further, something even more important than the usual football discussion that we have here on the show. We did this last night, we're going to do it all week.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Hopefully you listened last night. If you didn't know, we are supporting something more important than the football this week, Mental Health Awareness Week, all week long. We're just going to basically talk to as many interesting people as we can, discuss how football can support people who are struggling by having a positive impact on our mental well-being, because let's be honest, it's something that will be close to pretty much all of you one way or another who are listening. Last night we spoke to Joe McKee, plays for Dumbarton but also works for charity Back On Side, telling us about some of the great work they do. Now tonight we're delighted to be joined by Isla Buchanan. She's a Scottish football referee and an SFA ambassador. Isla, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now you've actually been on this show before. It was quite a while ago, so I don't know if the regular listeners will remember. You had the misfortune of actually being here in the studio, so it's much easier when you can just not see these ugly faces in here, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a while ago now thinking about it. Yeah,
it was. Now like, partly revisit some of that because it's an important week, but also maybe look at how things are for you currently. So I suppose to dive straight in, tell us a little bit about how football has impacted your life.
The straightforward point is football saved my life. It continues to do so. So back when I was 12, my mum had a stroke, and it kind of changed my life overnight. Became a young carer, was looking after my younger siblings as well. A lot of things changed in my life as well, you know, going through from the primary school to going up to secondary school and the transition from that. And I then sort of bottled everything up for about a year, and then I had a bit of a mental breakdown at the age of 13. My dad took me to the doctors, and I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And it was a lot to take at such a young age, and football was really that thing, that my passion. It was what got me away from all the daily struggles and things at home, and it still continues to be the main reason I am here today.
And what is it about football as a whole, you know, as an industry, as a pastime that you think has made such a positive impact on you?
For me, I think it's quite a lot of that sense of community. I feel when I'm at, you know, at training or whether I'm watching football, I feel part of something. I feel safe. I feel secure. I feel, you know, it takes my mind when, you know, obviously I'm a football referee. So when I'm refereeing, it's that 90 minutes on the pitch where I am focused on that game. Nothing else is in my head at that point apart from that game. And it's the same when I'm watching football. I'm just solely focused on the game, on the TV or wherever it may be, at the stadiums or what it might be. But it just really, that sense that most of my pals are from football and refereeing, and, you know, just that really sense of I have a lot of things in common with people, and it's just given me that real sense of community.
Obviously the main aim for this week, Isla, is that we can maybe even speak to one person or two people out there who are listening. I mean, maybe, hopefully, many more. But if it was just one person who was listening, who recognised that maybe they're feeling in a similar way that you were feeling, and maybe they would sort of, you know, speak out, what would your advice be to anyone who is maybe feeling that life was getting a bit heavy for them?
I think for me, and the biggest bit of advice is that the biggest hurdle that anybody can overcome is admitting it to themselves, admitting that you are unwell and that you are struggling with your mental health. I think that is one of the biggest challenges. And once you come over that hurdle of admitting it to yourself, it sometimes can be a lot easier in taking the steps forwards. But if anybody is feeling low, is feeling not quite themselves and is struggling with their mental health, is to seek help. People are out there to listen. People are willing to help. And there's loads of different charities and organisations that you can go on to anonymously as well. So if you weren't feeling like you were right up to the courage to speak to someone face-to-face, you can do these sort of things anonymously online as well. So if you are struggling, please seek help. There will be people there to help you and to listen. One thing is, you're not alone. So many people suffer with this, but you can get out the other side of it, I promise.
And do you know what I wonder, Isla? I wonder if it's, you know, without being an expert, this is where my own curiosity comes into it. I wonder if it's important also to maybe acknowledge that this is not necessarily, you know, something that does just click and, you know, and is fixed instantly. Is it maybe important to realise that, you know, once you acknowledge it and then maybe once you're on the right track, maybe there will still be, you know, bumps in the road and then you have to negotiate that. Is it a long process? Is it worth bearing that in mind?
100%. You know, I'm going on 22 now. I was 13 when I was first diagnosed, and I still have my good days and my bad days. But it's something you learn to cope with and manage. So when I'm feeling anxious, I know the certain triggers. I know what I feel like and what might start to be coming on, and I know what I need to do to prevent that from becoming worse. So that would be, like, for me, going watching football or whatever the case may be. So it is an ongoing process. It's a long journey ahead, but once you start feeling overall better yourself, things get so much easier. Once you jump that first hurdle, things do get easier. You know, the bubble will burst. You will continue going. It is a work in progress, 100%.
Now, people would certainly listening to this show would imagine refereeing can be an unforgiving environment. How is that? And explain a bit more about how that is such a release for you.
Yeah, most people find it crazy when I say, yeah, those 90 minutes on the pitch, I'm calm, I'm in my happy place. Most people find that really bizarre, but for me, it's just because I have to focus on, you know, 22 players plus sidelines and a ball flying about the place all at one time. My brain can only focus on that at one time. And, you know, I think they're running about. You've just got so many things to focus on. And, you know, I can have a laugh with the players as well. You know, I enjoy being on a pitch and my referee's kept the whistle in my hand. I really do enjoy it. And that's my sense of, you know, my getaway time as well.
How do you reflect on that journey that you've been on? I mean, you've now become a real champion for stuff like this, which is so admirable. So I guess you publicly revisit it quite a lot, like you're doing right now. What's that process like? Does that help in itself?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes it definitely is a challenge. And recently, when the Scottish FA reached out and asked if I would do a sort of revisit about the power of football and how it still continues to help me, it was kind of, you know, I do reflect on my life quite a lot and the changes and the things that have happened. Now I'm living in a whole other city. I'm, you know, on the journey of becoming a mental health nurse myself. So a lot has changed, and there is that sense of, you know, proud, that sense of achievement that I've, you know, come through some really tough, dark times in my life, but I'm continuing to push on and, you know, achieving some incredible things. And, you know, it's one thing I would always tell anybody is that, you know, things will get easier, times will get easier. You just have to keep pushing. One thing I'd sort of describe is that it's like a black bubble. You know, you feel you're so stuck in this bubble, it's never going to burst. But if you keep poking at it, it will burst and you will be the light again.
I mean, I think to sort of end where we started, I think one of the first things you said, and, you know, it was part of the Scottish FA video series where we first saw you, you know, that phrase that football saved my life. I mean, people might think that's, you know, some sort of exaggeration or it's a sort of buzz phrase, but is it genuinely that strong for you?
100%. I will happily shout it from the hilltops. It is the reason I am here today, and I will tell everybody that, you know, when the times were so tough, I was out coaching, playing, refereeing most nights of the week. That was my escape. That was my time to be a 13, 14-year-old girl at the time, and it continues to still be my escape. So I will openly and honestly always say that it's really saved my life.
Brilliant. Well, you should be really proud of the way you're able to come on shows like this and speak out. I'm sure there will be numerous people out there really touched by what you had to say tonight. Ayla, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you very much. There we are. Ayla Buchanan, Scottish football referee, Scottish FA ambassador. And what a story, Mark Wilson.
Incredible. Very sad what's happened to Ayla, but with a bright future for her at the minute. It's great that football can play such a big part in people's lives and drag them out of holes, especially where Isla's been. But it's great her coming on and speaking about it, because there will be people just now listening to this show who've heard Isla's words and think, yeah, listen, there's people at the moment I am at the minute, but there is a shining light, like Isla says there. So well said.
I mean, like, in case anyone's just switched on, we're doing this small section every night this week for Mental Health Awareness Week. Is that something that even Mark, because you retired relatively recently, do you think football was completely lacking at that time? It maybe is still lacking a bit. Are we getting there? How do you reflect on maybe some of the challenges in the game? And now, of course, you're involved in the charity sector as well.
No doubt about it. We've made huge progress, and there's still a long way to go in the mental health side. But when I retired, or when I was in the game and I retired 31, it wasn't even spoke about. Now that's a relatively short time ago, so it shows you how far we have came to recognising the problems and the different issues that people have and making spaces available for them to chat about it and to come out and open about it and share the problems. But like I say, we're never done. We've got so much work to do, but there's great charities now set up that deal with this sort of things and make these issues much more well known than the ones were.
Well, hopefully you were as moved and inspired by Isla as we were. And I said that, you know, you call us if you want. We can certainly point you in the right direction. We've been speaking to a number of charities and so on this week. So if any of that spoke to you, if you recognise any of that and you really am not too sure of where to turn, well, just give us a call. 01419511025. And we'll do our very best. So thank you again to Isla, and we'll get the answers to your full-time teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I wanted to crack on with something that is far more important than your full-time teaser, I can assure you of that.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yes, every night on the show we've been speaking to people, organisations involved in the game that we all love, but with a link to Mental Health Awareness Week. And by the way, let me thank you all for your such positive feedback on that already. People getting in touch either to maybe ask for support or just praise the message that's been put across, because I think we all know that football can be such a force for good. I know that we spend a lot of time arguing about the bad points, but it certainly can have such a positive impact. We had Joe McKee, Dumbarton player, on Monday, who works at charity Back on Side last night. Really incredible stuff from female referee and SFA ambassador Isla Buchanan, who said quite explicitly that football saved her life. So it's that level of impact that the game can have. Now I'm delighted to say we're joined by David Jukes from Street Soccer Scotland. How are you, David? All right?
I'm good, thanks. How's yourself?
Yes, not bad. Great to speak to you, David. Now I appreciate that I'm probably going to ask you a question that could lead to an hour long answer and expect you to combine it, but to condense it, sorry, into a shorter version. But at Street Soccer Scotland, what type of mental health issues do you encounter, and what sort of things do you do to try and help?
Well, at Street Soccer Scotland, we've obviously been going for about 14 years now, and over the years we've worked with people from a variety of different backgrounds, experiencing a variety of kind of complex issues and needs, you know, from homelessness, mental health, addiction, and so on. And you know, it varies from person to person. You know, we're all living in a world where we'll all experience mental health, but you know, a lot of the stuff that we work through is maybe trauma and stuff like that. Maybe someone who's had a really difficult start in life, maybe through the care system, or spent a bit of time homeless, or are currently experiencing homelessness, and all the kind of trauma and fear that brings with you, you know. And I think what we've always tried to do is just create a space for people to come along to, you know, where it be, you know, we're all across Scotland, and just creating these kind of friendly, welcoming football sessions to start off the conversation. You know, it's not about asking what issues you've got, you know, it's just about saying, right, Davey, you're a player, come in, enjoy yourself, and then start to build a relationship with some of the staff and support workers, so that, you know, you can start building relationships and trust, so that then we can start to say, right, well, how else can we help? Because, you know, there's a lot of people living in isolation. You know, there's a lot of lonely people out there because of their situation. They can't maybe, they might be out of a job, or just kind of cut off from family and friends. And, you know, anxiety can build, you know, when you're spending quite a lot of time alone. You know, I'm certainly speaking from experience, you know, I can sit inside my own head sometimes, and it's not till I'm around people and being able to chat, I can start to feel myself again. Or sometimes if there's things bothering you, or there's things, you know, on your mind, you know, if you're sitting with them yourself, then it becomes a whole different thing, you know. But actually being able to have that conversation, you know, the old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved. It's so true, you know, just having that platform that people can meet up, you know, all, you know, programmes of the day, people can meet up, have a chat, have a laugh, you know, and just kind of try and get through things, you know, because life's tough for a number of reasons just now. And it's important that there's an avenue for people to access relationships and just something to belong to.
Yeah, I think that'll speak to so many people listening. What made you get involved in the first place, David?
Well, Street Soccer started just over 14 years ago, you know, and it was through my own lived experience. I'd spent, you know, didn't have the best start in life, spent about 3 years homeless in Glasgow, and the damage that kind of does to you in terms of self-worth and, you know, all everything else that goes with it. You know, I was broken. Football was my kind of way out, you know, but I met Ali Dawson, former Rangers captain, who sadly passed away not long ago. He was running a football team to send him to the Homeless World Cup, got involved in that, and that just took me out of a place where I'd wake up, have, you know, I was living in a hostel at the time, I had nowhere to be, nothing to do, and suddenly two training sessions a week to go to, you know, and I'd Ali and some of the other staff there who became kind of role models and just somebody who could listen to me, you know, and all the stuff that was going through my mind at the time and how I felt about myself, I was able just to kind of speak about that. And, you know, and all my experience over the last kind of 15, 20 years, you know, one of the best kind of things that's helped me and helps others is just being around people. Obviously, physical activity, you know, running about and playing football and all that, you get the endorphins and you feel good, but just having that safe environment where you can be yourself, you know. And I think what we've tried to do at Street Soccer is, you know, 80% of our team have all got lived experience, so we hire a lot of staff who have came through the programme, so they've got that lived experience of mental health or addiction or, you know, homelessness and stuff. So when players come over the line, you know, they've got that kind of understanding and that lived experience, as well as a variety of other people who have worked in mental health and so on. So no, it's just really important that we've got a safe space to talk, because the biggest challenge, particularly for men, you know, what it's just kind of being able to talk about it, you know, and kind of and have that confidence to not, you know, let anything get in the way of just actually saying how you feel.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you sharing, you know, your own story, Dave, and I appreciate you'll have loads, I mean literally hundreds of examples. I'm not expecting you to name names or anything, but I just wonder if there's any examples that spring to mind right now about particular people that, and maybe even some of the females that you've got involved that you've helped, and some of the, you know, the issues that they've faced and perhaps the way that they've managed to turn things around with your help.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I mean, we work with 2,500 players across Scotland, so, you know, there's amazing stories of bravery and resilience, you know, and courage every day, and, you know, and there's a variety of in terms of where people are at with mental health and stuff like that. So a lot is caused by, you know, as I say, periods of addiction, periods of homelessness where they maybe feel a bit of shame and kind of, you know, no self-worth and stuff like that, which really affects their confidence, which then again affects their mental health. So, you know, often people turn up and they sometimes can't look at you in the eye, and then suddenly, you know, even the space of a few weeks, you know, they start to grow, they start to develop, and they start taking the belief in themselves, you know, and sometimes it just takes other people to believe in you, you know, and to show you respect and to reinforce to each and everybody that, you know, we're all somebody and we're all worth it, do you know what I mean? And just getting that confidence back allows people to open up and really kind of grow as people, you know, and kind of confidence, and that obviously has a massive impact on mental health. And even, you know, we've had, you know, worked with kind of with hospitals and stuff like that, where players have came who've been kind of in hospital and were under kind of long-term care, you know, and just getting out for a couple of days. Even today, for example, I was down in Portobello in Edinburgh, and with over 100 players between two sessions, you know, one of them was an additional support needs session as well, you know, working with guys and lassies who have got, you know, additional needs, experience autism and stuff like that, and kind of other kind of disability, but just to be able to get out, you know, most of these players are under kind of 24-hour care almost, you know, and so they're not getting out and they're not getting active as such, but just coming down to the football, you know, and just kind of running about with peers and, you know, getting out in the fresh air and just being part of a team, you know, and that just builds people up, you know, and it supports us, you know, and I think, that, as I say, there's so many stories in terms of how people have overcame certain things, you know, and people who are still in that journey, you know, because it's not something that you're fixed, you know. Sometimes, you know, mental health can stay with you, but it's about how you approach it and how you manage it, you know, and try to keep yourself in situations where your mental health is at a stronger place. You know, we've all experienced COVID, sitting in lockdown and all that, and that had a massive impact on everyone's mental health, you know, and we're trying to get out and be active and keep ourselves around people, you know, and it's just trying to kind of identify that and make sure no one's left behind and make sure everyone's got that space to come, play, belong, you know, and access support, etc. And that's the most important thing, just having somebody to speak to.
Brilliant, David. Look, we really, really appreciate you. As David says, Street Soccer Scotland, you can find them all over the country. If that, and there are so many good organisations out there, it's one example. But if David, what he said, has spoken to you, get in touch with us, get in touch with him, look them up, and try and speak. As David says, that's often the first step. So thank you very much, David.
No problem, pleasure.
Take care. That was David Jukes from Street Soccer Scotland. I've been saying it all week, the reason we do it, yes, it's great for David to share his story and Isla to share her story last night, and Joe and so on, but ultimately it's about you listening, wondering if that's something that speaks to you, and maybe, you never know, just a 5 minutes listening to the radio maybe gives you the spark you need to go and try and make a bit of a change. So like I say, if you need to call us even to get pointed in the right direction, please feel free to do so. Hugh Keevan's just incredible to listen to David and the work that gets done.
Tremendously impressed by David and what he had to say, because he articulated the hard times so well. He articulated so well how you go about moving on from those hard times. On this programme, on a nightly basis, we are obliged to address the contentious side of football, the argumentative side of football. But David and those who have been on earlier in the week have reminded us that football has a very strong therapeutic quality. David has enjoyed the benefit of that, and those who have been on Monday and Tuesday likewise. So the Street Soccer, marvellous, tremendous initiative, 14 years going strong, and wonderful words from David.
It's made Nadim call up, certainly. Hi, Nadim.
Hi, Gordon, how you doing?
Good, good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, I'm good. I just wanted to phone up because it's something that's quite close to my heart, I suppose, in recent months, because I'm the treasurer of a football club called Edinburgh Thistle FC, and we're a club set up to help guys who are overweight and with mental health issues to kind of get out and about and play football, you know, try and get fitter both physically and mentally. We're also, I think the Warriors Premier League has been showcased before in your programme, Gordon. So it's an amateur league that's set up, and we're joining that next season. So just now we're playing friendlies and we're training on Thursday night, but it's just about getting the guys out. You know, guys that are maybe stuck at home, as Dave was saying there. You know, especially during COVID, as we know, the issues that's perpetuated, and I just feel that, you know, it's not really talked about, especially within the kind of male community. You know, mental health has definitely still got a stigma attached to it. You know, you don't know, chat about your feelings and things, and that's got to change. So our club, we try and change that in a small way that we can, getting guys out, you know, training a Thursday night, playing games on a Sunday, and we try and, you know, just building that camaraderie. And it's become, we've now got over 30 odd members in our club. I'm the treasurer. I've got a committee that runs the club as well, and it's just that brotherhood that's going on. Every player's brilliant. You know, they come along, talk about you know, the week that they've had and how everybody's doing, and we've got boys that are really overweight. Boys that are, you know, just got overweight during COVID and want to lose weight, and being overweight is, you know, in itself, as I know well, you know, that in itself brings mental health issues. Just being that size, but for guys who are a bit bigger, to think, you know, that they can actually play elevated football and it's not something that's a barrier to them to get out and about, I think that's a massive release for guys, you know.
Yes, Nadim, I can't imagine how many people listening think that sounds like a good idea that you've got going on. How did you come to get involved in that? What made you get involved?
It was just through the exposure of the Warriors Premier League. So if you know, you can look at it on Facebook or on their website. It's a league. It's an amazing setup. It's a league that's set up, an amateur league that's set up specifically for that purpose, Gordon, where it's teams that are guys that are part of a team who are overweight and want to get fit and mental health issues and want to get out and about and help themselves get fitter both mentally and physically. So the league was created and it's got 12 teams running just now. The new season starts in January, so there's quite a few teams already that are signing up to a new season, including us. So all I would say is guys that are out there that are struggling, you know, mental health wise and with their physical fitness, and they want to get back into football, because a lot of time it's you know, you maybe think you can't do that, and absolutely, you know, get in touch with clubs that are already affiliated with the
with the WPL or new clubs that are joining, for example ourselves, Edinburgh Thistle, you know, get in touch and join the kind of movement towards getting fitter, you know.
Brilliant, Nadeem, you are a good man and I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. That was Nadeem from Livingston, and we'll take more of your calls. You can go back to the football, you can carry on that theme, you can do what you like. We'll try and speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Something much more important than your full-time teaser coming up.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yes, a bit of a change in tone on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but hopefully you're getting familiar with this, because every night this week it is Mental Health Awareness Week. If you didn't know, hopefully we've been able to flag that up for you. And if you did, well, hopefully you've managed to take something away from the guests that we've had on around this time every night. Just looking, we've spoken to all sorts of different people. Joe McKee, who's a Dumbarton player but also works for the Back On Side charity. We had SFA ambassador and female referee Isla Buchanan last night. It was someone you know well, Mark, David Duke from Street Soccer Scotland, to do great work trying to use football to benefit people's mental health struggles. So tonight, going to shift the focus ever so slightly and be joined by Liam, who's a Motherwell fan. He's just a Motherwell fan, doesn't necessarily, he's not running any organisations or anything like that. But I thought what might be quite beneficial from Liam is firstly to welcome him to the show. Liam, how's it going?
I'm not too bad. How are you guys?
Not bad at all. You're obviously in good company with Gordon Deal, always telling everyone he's a big Motherwell fan, although some of us are not entirely convinced. I suppose, Liam, what I wanted to get a fan's perspective then is, how has football met your mental health struggles and helped? You know, how can football be important?
I think massively, to be honest. Around the time where things were sort of happening with me, and I was really vocal on social media. I kind of used social media as my personal blog, to be honest, just to kind of let people know how I was progressing. Around that time, I became slightly disillusioned with football, to be honest. Wasn't doing very well. Had kind of cut myself off from everyone and everything. And it's not really until I was kind of discharged from the hospital that I kind of fell back in love with it again. Kind of aided by, I suppose, the support that I received from my football club at Motherwell, specifically Alan Burrows. When I was in the hospital, he'd reached out to me, and he was fantastic with us, and it really highlights just how much a community-based club Motherwell actually are. But yeah, I try to go every week where possible. And it really just gives me that sort of, almost cliche, but it couldn't be any truer, that sort of 90-minute escape from reality, where you're able to build connections and get supports for different people as well. And that's really what's happened for me over the past 2 years. I've met a lot of good people through football. It's been massive for me, really.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, of course, Liam, it goes without saying, only answer in a manner that you're comfortable with, but to what extent then did things get tough for you when you mentioned that time when Motherwell reached out to you?
I don't think they could have been much worse, to be honest. I think what's important as well, we kind of what I'm going to discuss is we put the words on it to actually sort of break the taboo of what I'm going to speak about. But 1st of April 2021, and then the 4th of April 2021, I tried to take my own life, just for a lot of culminating factors. That kind of led to a sort of hospital admission. So I was in Ward 1 at Worcester General for, I think it's 17 days, where at that point I was given the sort of safety and stability that I needed at that time. But it was really apparent for a lot of people, because the way I dealt with it at that time was to kind of almost let everyone know that that I wasn't doing well. I do have regrets around that at that specific point, but I think the way it's played out, I can't really regret it, because it really helped me get the supports, I suppose, that I needed.
And how does that feel to have your football club reach out and help? Because, you know, I imagine there are times where you maybe at some clubs you can just feel like you know just a number, and you think, you know, how, the sort of community ethos there at Motherwell, and how did that feel actually to have players and staff and the club and everyone kind of reach out and help?
I suppose you can't really believe that it's happening. Again, specifically Alan, I've got quite a good relationship with Alan. He was the CEO at Motherwell at that point, and I remember, again, didn't deal with it the way I wanted to, but the way I did was through Twitter. So had a lot of DMs for sort of players, I suppose all over Scotland as well, but specifically Motherwell players reaching out to us, offering things like facilities. I'd had a recent surgery on my knee, and I was offered facilities at Motherwell if I ever wanted to use them, which kind of blew my mind, to be honest, and was really overwhelming that the football club that I've supported and I've attended matches with my dad and my friends for as long as I can remember were reaching out to me, and as you say, promoting that sort of community ethos that Motherwell really do push. I don't think it's something that you get everywhere else, and I think that is what makes Motherwell so unique.
Yeah, do you know what's funny? We mentioned this earlier, Liam. Completely unintentional, I happened to be going to play five-a-sides very badly after work, and I've stuck on Motherwell's luminous third kit, and then it just kind of dawned on me that when we were speaking that was, of course, a kit that was launched for charity. I think it was Samaritans, Breathing Space, Childline, local charity Chris's House.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of this strip that I'm wearing by accident was actually to encourage fans, you know, who are struggling to speak up and speak out. And I suppose this has been a real sore issue, hasn't it, in and around Motherwell and the local community, because there are unfortunately far too many people that didn't get help in time the way that you did. And I just wonder now that you are sort of here to tell the tale of what that's, why you think that happens to young men, and how important it is that people do manage to get the help in time.
Yeah, I suppose specifically for young men, there is obviously a massive stigma. That stigma is known across the world. I mean, you're met with basic sayings, men don't cry, man up, things like that. So how can you, as a man, feel comfortable and sort of opening up about your feelings when you're met with that sort of defeatist attitude? It almost becomes impossible. And it's not until you actually realise that the attitudes and the sort of values are now starting to shift that it becomes a lot easier. Because if you are keeping things inside, you're not vocalising things, you're not getting yourself out there socialising, speaking to your friends, then you're not going to look for support from maybe your GP or the NHS or the stuff that is going to help you, the practitioners that are going to have a good effect in sort of changing that journey for you. So I do think it's certainly met, because there is a stigma, and I think that stigma, more so than anything, really has to change.
Yeah, important advice from Liam. And just before we let you go, Liam, how are you now? How are things? As you know, you talk about football and getting back into it and giving you a purpose and all that sort of thing. Is life treating you well?
We're getting there. There's been changes over the 2 years. It's certainly, and I do want to say this as well, it's not plain sailing. Do you know what I mean? If you confront that 2 years ago, you're still going to have your bad days as well. It's how you then manage the bad days. It's not a sort of one size fits all. You just need to find the things that work for you. So for me, that's football, that's exercising, it's socialising with friends, and it's finding the people and the support networks in my life, the people that will dig me out when things aren't going too well. And if it wasn't for those things that I've just listed, it could be a different story. But over the course of 2 years, obtained a new job, a job which has had a massive influence on my mental health as well, because I do enjoy it. I've recently just moved out of the house as well. I've moved in with my long-term partner. Oddly enough, pretty much 2 years on from both of those attempts. So I suppose my message is things can get better. They might not be perfect, but you just need to take your time with it. You will find a balance if that's what you want. And I suppose the saying that I kind of remind myself of is, if you want to cross the ocean, first you need to build your boat. So you need to have the foundations in place that get you to the place where you want to be.
Liam, superb, honestly. Really, I'm in awe of you coming on and putting that across so well, so effectively. And I'm absolutely certain that that will speak to a lot of people who are listening tonight. So thank you very much.
No, thank you very much for your time as well. I'm a big fan of the show, so I'm delighted to be able to come on and spread a message that's so important.
Well, you've just made the show a whole lot better, that's for sure. Thank you very much. That was Liam on the line, just the latest in our Mental Health Awareness Week features. More of that tomorrow night, and we'll get back to talking football, teasers and all the rest of it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Since we're on the topic of the well-being of football players, watch this for a seamless transition.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, supporting Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yeah, it's been a huge week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been supporting something much more important than the usual football debate, and that's Mental Health Awareness Week. Every night on the show, we've been speaking to either organisations that work within the game or players, or last night, for instance, we just had a fan who came on to share his own experiences. And I must admit, the reaction has been staggering, because that's obviously the reason that we do it, is the hope that maybe someone's listening and it speaks to you and you recognise some of the issues there, and maybe it has a force for good. And as an example, so we had Liam on, who is a Motherwell fan, last night. He hung up with 20 minutes to go, and for the next 20 minutes the producers were on the phone to someone who just wanted to phone up and talk and just air their own struggles, and the call made them realise that maybe should go and get help. That's the reason we do it. It really is. So something to carry on that theme tonight. Delighted to say we're actually joined by one of Fraser's PFA Scotland colleagues, which was entirely unplanned, would you believe? But a former player, you'll recognise the name, David McCracken, who's now the wellbeing officer for PFA Scotland. How's it going, David?
Yeah, it's going great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You're feeling under pressure here that the gaffer's listening?
Aye, it's not so bad that he's not face to face.
Exactly. Listen, I'll turn his mic off so that he can't say anything anyway. David, so the wellbeing officer for PFA Scotland, in a kind of simple terms, what does a day in that job look like?
Yeah, so I cover players across all the leagues, and, you know, male, female, the youth players as well. So just helping right across the board. It could be any sort of wellbeing issue. It could be performance related, or it could be medical related. You know, and I'm the kind of touch point for most players if they don't use our main support service, to kind of help them and then signpost them to the best place possible that's needed.
Yeah, and I mean, with a bit more of a specific focus, given that it's Mental Health Awareness Week, I've always sort of figured that, you know, we outside just probably assume players are robots and the machines, and they don't have the same struggles that everyone else does, which is obviously absolute nonsense. What type of issues do players come to you with that maybe people on the outside don't realise?
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, you've got to remember that players are people, you know, and just as the same as the general public, you know, they go through the kind of day-to-day stresses that everybody works with, and that could be anything. That, you know, could be financial problems, it could be addiction problems, it could be relationship problems, you know, it could be something going on in the house. So we work, you know, very closely on that. But on top of that, you've got things like maybe injury that they're going through, or, you know, performance related, that they maybe don't feel as though they're part of the dressing room, or the manager doesn't like them, or there's something a bit complicated going on there. But, you know, even either end of the career as well, where younger players are looking to transition into a full-time job, basically, you know, and top of having the pressures of being a football player as well. And then in the back end, players are transitioning out of football, so trying to reinvent themselves, trying to think about who they are and what else they can do. So there's quite a lot going on there that can be quite complex sometimes.
Is that a really tough one, that for players struggling with a future after football? Is that a real source of mental health issues amongst players, you think, that we again probably don't see?
Yeah. As it, you know, and being there myself, you know, I went through the transition of coming out of playing and getting into coaching and then managing, and I was fortunate to have opportunities in front of me, but there was still those struggles. There was still those points of, who am I? What can I do? And there's loads of players that go through that, you know, and if they don't plan before the transition happens, then it can be really, really damaging. You know, it can cause depression and, you know, loads of other symptoms as well. So that's why, you know, with the likes of Chris Higgins and Blair Munnan at the PFA as well, who work hard on the educational side, trying to get players to educate as early as possible to help just whenever that happens.
I mean, I'm going to guess even in your day as a player, David, and certainly not in Fraser's day as a player, because then we're really going back. I can't imagine many players would have chapped the door. Well, you know, your role wouldn't have been around, but chapped any door and said, look, I think my mental health's struggling, I think I've got anxiety, I think I'm, you know, I'm feeling depressed or whatever. Does that happen now? Are we in a place now where people are feeling that they can come to you and say those things?
It's getting better, yeah, and I totally agree. Even in my playing days, you know, there was still points where you would maybe find out a year later when a player's left the club that there was an issue going on when they were playing in the same team as you. But, you know, I was lucky that I had a couple of managers that I could speak to when I was going through a couple of things. And I think that comes down to the individual as well, you know, how that relationship is with the manager or coaches there. But, yeah, you know, that's what I'm kind of trying to raise awareness about. That's what the PFA is trying to raise awareness about. There's got somebody there that you can speak to, whether it be, you know, something. A lot of the time we kind of put down what it is we're struggling with, but making sure that they understand that somebody's there to talk to. Once they talk, then it's always a weight kind of off their shoulders, no matter kind of how big or small it seems.
Kenny, I wonder if your career possibly perfectly spanned this, where at the start of your career, again, nobody's talking about that, but maybe by the end, maybe start more of a sort of attention paid to people's mental well-being and how they're actually feeling and how that impacts their job.
Oh, definitely. Towards the end, it was again, like David says, it's like now there's even more about the human being behind the player, you know, the person behind the player. It's and again, we even in these kind of shows now, when you're starting to criticise maybe performances, you're always thinking, right, is there other things going on?
Absolutely.
You know, so absolutely at the end of the career, that was far more kind of out there. That you had to maybe open your mind up a little bit more and think, right, okay, there's maybe more to it than just that he's not playing well on that football pitch. But you're right, at the start, it was kind of just kind of suck it up and get on with it, you know, or you're viewed upon as soft or weak and that type of thing. But obviously, there's far more awareness now towards the end when I finished.
Because again, Fraser, I'm just sort of guessing from the outside, and that's why I'm keen to learn from you and David, because it feels like, so society is getting there, society's getting better, but it still feels like to me football might be a bit behind that, where in an office or a big company, people probably do feel a bit more now, like they can say, oh, my mental health struggling, and you would get time off your work for that.
Yeah.
We don't ever consider, I mean, hundreds of footballers in the country, and as Kenny said on this show or in the stands, say, he's hopeless, why is he playing like that? You don't factor that in, I don't think.
Well, absolutely not. And you mentioned when I played, which was a long, long time ago. I can remember one player back in Motherwell in the 80s, and he was getting so much stick that his wife was in tears in the stand, you know, next to my family, you know. And you take that home, and I think supporters tend to forget that, and they just get so caught up in the game. And some of the stuff now online is a big thing as well. You know, the online abuse is something we're working on and trying to help shield players from the online abuse as well. So, but I think it's changing, and I think the work that David's done in the last year or so has been terrific. We've got all these support networks, we've got partners, we've got people we can pass on to that have got expert help. So players know the door's open, and when David goes to speak to players, it's confidential, and we don't go and sing about things in the social media. We don't tell people how many have done it, and in most cases, I don't even know who David's speaking to, you know, because I just signed the cheque at the end of it, trust David to be doing a good job.
I mean, like, David, this is not meant to be as nosy as it sounds, because I wouldn't, you know, not, I don't care about the identity, but you're trying to get to the scale of this. So you've got, you know, high profile players in this country that are feeling confident enough now or feeling that they need to reach out for this help.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, month on month, there's a number of players that will contact me, or will kind of make contact through maybe one of the other members of staff, or through, you know, somebody at their club that maybe kind of pass on the details. But right across the board, there's players that need that help. And, you know, part of the job of what I'm trying to do is, you know, is trying to raise awareness, you know, on the front end so that we can guide people and kind of make them aware of the things that they might be feeling or might be happening to them, so that then they know, right, actually, that this is why I'm feeling it, and I do need to reach out for support. So look, next year is going to be huge for us, because we've got a number of workshops that we're kind of piloting, and we're going to put them in place so that clubs can get access to them, whether it be for gambling, or whether it be for sexuality, or, you know, just kind of general mental health as well. So, you know, kind of trying to front end it. So, as I said, they've got the base there that they understand, and they kind of, they know what they're feeling, and then understand that they need to reach out for support there.
Because I suppose, Fraser, and maybe, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm trivialising this, but maybe you're only actually really there. You're only really there when you're talking about, oh, he's out with a knee injury, he's out with a calf strain, and he's out with, you know, mental health problems. Like, yeah. Really, if we're talking about it being something that everyone should be 100% comfortable dealing with, you should kind of be able to have that conversation. Don't get me wrong, maybe you never get there.
Yeah, I think if players have that conversation with their manager now and their club, I think in general that'll be well received. You know, if they say, listen, I'm struggling, I need a bit of help, that help will be sought, whether it's through us or elsewhere. I think that's there. And when we're in the dressing rooms, David's been out to Premiership clubs, first teams, you know. The clubs are opening up, saying, please come in and speak to our players, make sure they've got a safe place, which is what we want to offer. So I think it's there. I think we've made great strides in the last few years. We did a survey in 2016, and that was the real start of our support in sport. So it's fairly new, but I think the strides that have been made have been terrific. And say players are no different from any other human beings, and people listening as well. And your story about Liam, the fan who was on, and other fans are on phoning in. You know, speak to somebody. That's what we tell our players, and that's what we tell all the many good people that listen here. If you're struggling, speak to somebody.
Absolutely,
people there.
And thank you very much to David for lending his insight. And just to repeat that, I did say it last night. If you feel that the only number you're confident calling is ours, then fine, do that. And people have done it. But obviously we would pass you on to the right people. Samaritans, obviously available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can get them on number 116123, and there's so many good sort of sources and charities out there. So if any of this is resonating with you, do the right thing and speak out.